like to welcome you here to the Oxford Union for our second e-learning debate. It's also great to welcome those of you back who were here last year, and indeed those of you who are attending for the first time. Tonight, we have almost double the audience in the chamber that we had this time last year. And indeed, we also have a waiting list of disappointed folk who have been unable to be accommodated. It's true to say that we've been overwhelmed by the response to the debate so far, including last year's debate on skills here in this chamber, and in our mobile learning debate at the Lane Technology Show in London in January. The enthusiasm with which people have embraced the notion of contributing their ideas and showing their thoughts in such in this format has overwhelmed us, as has the quality of the contributions on elearningdebate.com and the many thousands of votes cast on the site. But this isn't unique. The hundreds of such forums of learning is growing at an astounding rate. In the years since I last stood here, the number of daily tweets has grown by an astonishing 1,400%, from 2.5 million a day to 35 million a day. And over 500,000 new articles have been created on Wikipedia in that short time. And even in our own small experience at Edinburgh, we're seeing amazing growth. For instance, 4 months ago, we started eLearning UK, a LinkedIn group for learning professionals to share thinking and ideas, and already we have over 1,000 members. We live in an age of public sector cutbacks and uncertain economic recovery. Yet these challenging circumstances seem to be fueling our desire to take charge of our own learning, to choose who we do it with, when we do it, and how we do it, and indeed on what platform we do it. That's why I believe it's our task as EdEd and in the wider e-learning community, both here and abroad, to offer innovative ways in which we can help people, wherever they may be, whatever technology they may have access to fulfil this desire to learn and to help businesses and countries develop their people and talent to become ever more successful. That's why we've chosen the theme of technology-based informal learning for tonight's debate. And here to introduce the motion is the person that created the concept of the e-learning debate, EPIC's Director of Learning, Dr. Naomi Moore.
The motion this evening is this House believes that technology-based informal learning is more style than substance. A thoroughly modern motion to be debating at one of the world's oldest universities, and yet I think it's a rather appropriate one, because Oxford is a place of quads, of high tables, and of common rooms, all designed for social gathering that facilitate informal learning. And it's not only happening behind college walls either. Just around the corner from here, there's a pub called the Eagle and Child, where for 20 years, from the 1930s to the 1950s, every Tuesday lunchtime, a group of writers met. It was here that Tolkien invited critique of Lord of the Rings. It was here that C.S. Lewis first read aloud Out of the Silent Planet. This kind of informal learning has been part of the fabric of life for hundreds of years in Oxford and elsewhere, with no requirement for technological tools like Google or Wikipedia to support it. So what does technology really have to contribute to informal learning? Does it have nothing much to add? After all, who am I to say that Tolkien and C.S. Lewis would have benefited from following H.G. Wells or Virginia Woolf on Twitter? Or does technology really have something significant to offer? At last, it enables us to capture and share that vital idea that came to mind in the quad or as we walk across the office to our desk. That gem of wisdom offered in a pub or indeed in a meeting. That thought that became the seed for a winning proposal, an innovative product, or a new piece of research. Or does it simply generate noise, interrupt our work, hinder our thinking, get in the way with inconsequential and irrelevant snippets of information?